the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. The disease of leprosy. Today it is called Hansen's disease. But the disease of leprosy is a highly infectious, and it is a terrible disease. But today, with modern medicine and with modern technology, today the disease of leprosy or Hansen's disease can generally be cured with some high-powered antibiotics. In fact, with an early diagnosis and treatment, many of the symptoms and the complications that are associated with leprosy can be minimized or they can be avoided altogether. However, in the days of the Bible, and in the days when Jesus walked on the face of this earth, that was not the case. And therefore, no disease known among men was really more feared than the disease of leprosy when Jesus lived. When a man was a leper, the disease would literally affect the whole of his body. It would affect the whole body. In fact, it would usually begin with fatigue or with pain in the joints. Now, don't everybody start saying, "Oh no, I got leprosy." No, that's just old age. But it would usually start with fatigue or a pain in the joints. And then after a period of time, you would begin to notice there would be a little white scaly place that would come up on the skin, like a dry patch or something. And that would be the manifestation of it. And then as the disease would progress, the body would then begin to be covered with these painful nodules that would be filled with pus and with corruption. And all of this would begin to work, and literally while the man was living, he was already decomposing. That's leprosy. That's leprosy. The body was literally rotting away while the man lived. And of course, the result of that was, if you've ever been around a leper, there's a terrible smell. Just a terrible smell that is associated with the disease because of the decaying of the flesh. The disease would also attack the nervous system. It would attack the nervous system of the victim, which would in turn compromise the body's ability to feel pain. And so therefore, because this disease would work as an anesthetic, numbing the body, the leper would sometimes have parts of his body which had been decomposing, they might just fall off. Might just fall off. This is really gross, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because of the smell of the rotting flesh and because of the decay that was present in a leper, I have read recently about a certain doctor in a country that I will not mention who would perform surgery on lepers, and when he would send them home, he would send a cat home with them. And the reason he sent a cat home with them was because the smell of the rotting flesh would draw out the rats, and the rats would literally feed on the flesh of the man while he was sleeping. Terrible disease. Terrible disease. After about 9 years, the disease would have run its course, and the leper would die a excruciatingly painful death. But as tragic as all of that certainly was, talking about the physical aspects, As tragic as all of that was, I personally believe that the worst part of having leprosy would be the emotional impact, because you see, to have leprosy was to be forced into isolation. It was to be all alone. To be isolated from family, to be isolated from society because of the contagious nature of the disease. In Leviticus chapter 13, God required in the nation of Israel that if a man was found to be a leper, he was to be put out of the camp. Isolated and all alone. He was driven from family, forced from his city, forced to live in society or from society out in the wilderness, forced to wander in the wilderness with a cloth over his upper lip, and every time someone would come near to him, he was forced by the law to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And they would know, stay away from that man. Many families would sometimes bring food, and they would bring clothing for a while to those who had been diagnosed with leprosy and had been outcast from society. But it was not an uncommon thing that eventually, after a while, most of the families would simply have a funeral service, and the leper was considered dead. Of course, if a person somehow managed to be healed, that was a pretty amazing thing. If a person somehow managed to be healed of the leprosy, there was a process. Leviticus chapter 14 tells us about it. There was a process whereby the leper could actually be restored to his family and could be restored to society. That's the way things were. That's the way things were in the days when Jesus walked the earth. And the reason I mention all of that this morning is today we're going to see Jesus giving a display of His supremacy as He comes face to face with a man with one of the most dreaded diseases of all, the disease of leprosy. Now you'll remember in our study together last time we talked about our Lord's passion to finish the work of His Heavenly Father. And in order to keep that passion burning hot, in order to keep the fire burning bright, you remember we saw there were two things that Jesus did, two things that we can do as well to keep our passion for serving God and for reaching our world for Christ, as we heard mentioned earlier. Two things we can do that Jesus did to keep the passion burning hot. You remember, first of all, we saw that Jesus prayed. We saw that He went and He spent time in prayer, but that was not the end of it. After He prayed, we saw then how that He obeyed. He obeyed. You remember we saw that while Jesus was praying, there was three things that happened. First of all, there was the interruption. The disciples came as He was praying. They came looking for Him. And then there was the explanation. They explained to Jesus that all of, after the miracles of the previous evening, now multitudes had come. And there was great crowds of people who were waiting to see Him, that they might be healed of their physical needs, that they might be delivered from their spiritual needs. And the crowds have returned, bringing even more people now. And so there was the explanation. And then we saw the determination. The determination was simply that Jesus said, "I'm not going to stay in Capernaum. Christ did not send me to Capernaum, or God did not send me to Capernaum. He sent me to minister to the house of Israel. So I need to be going to other places. And I need to preach in other cities and in other towns. They need to hear the message of the gospel, which I have come to bring." Now, as we consider the rest of this chapter together today, as we conclude our study here in chapter 1, there are three main thoughts that I want us to notice together as we see our Lord now meeting up with this man who was a leper. And I want you to notice, first of all, the sick man. The sick man. And I want you to notice letter A as you follow along in your notes there. I want you to notice the nature of his disease. The Bible says in verse number 40, and there came a leper to him. As Jesus and his disciples are walking along the way, suddenly they are met by a man who is a leper. Now, I've already spoken about the terrible nature of the physical disease. But the interesting thing about leprosy in the Bible is that leprosy is not only a physical disease, it is also used to describe the spiritual symptoms of a man who is without Christ. In other words, the unsaved man and the leper have very much in common. They have very much in common. Leprosy. It's a picture of sin. One commentator has well noted this. He said the leper was considered the embodiment of impurity. The leper was a living, breathing commentary on the effects of sin. You want to see what God thinks of sin? You want to see how God views sin? Look at the leper. Look at the leper. Notice how leprosy pictures sin. Let me give you four ways very quickly. First of all, leprosy, like sin, it is a deep thing. It is a deep thing. In Leviticus chapter 13 and verse number 3, even though it first appeared as a little patch of on the surface of the skin, a careful inspection by the high priest would reveal that it was deeper than the skin. It was deeper than the skin. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 to verse number 20. We find the same thing is true when it comes to the sinner. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 and 20, Jesus said, "For out of the heart," doesn't get any deeper than that, folks. "Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile the man." These are the things that defile the man. Sin, just like leprosy, it is a deep thing. And the old saying is absolutely right, which says people are not sinners because they sin. People sin because they are sinners. It's inside. It's a deep thing. Number two, leprosy gives us a picture of sin. Because not only is it a deep thing, number two, it is a growing thing. Leviticus chapter 13, verse number 7, talks about how that it grows. It spreads. This leper was able to see a tiny spot on his skin, and before long it had spread over his body. In fact, if you go to the testimony of Dr. Luke, the good physician, right? Dr. Luke. Luke chapter 5, verse number 12. He tells us that this man was literally full of leprosy. Started out with just a little spot, but now he's full when he meets Christ. He's full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. You remember the story of David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. A little spot of laziness. A little spot of laziness. A little spot of lust turned into a plague of adultery and lies and murder. Just a little thing. Just a little thing. But it grew. And it grew. And it grew. Until finally, he was brought to a place of wreck and ruin. Sad thing. Like leprosy. Sin's a deep thing. Sin is a growing thing. Number three, it's a defiling thing. A defiling thing. In Leviticus chapter 13, verse 44 to verse 46, we find how that sin defiles because of the contagious nature of leprosy. Everything the leper touched was considered to be defiled or unclean. If I was a leper and I touched this podium, no other person would want to touch that podium because I had defiled it. By the way, that's for the reason why an unsaved man, by his good works, can never please a holy God. Because everything he touches, just like a leper, everything he touches, everything he tries to do that is holy and noble and godly and righteous, all of that, it's all polluted by our sin. And therefore it is impossible for man, as a sinner, to please a holy God. Defiles. Defiles. Number four, it's an isolating thing. It is an isolating thing. In Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 46, we mentioned it a moment ago, the Bible makes it very clear how that when a man was discovered to be a leper, he was isolated, he was set apart, he was separated from his family, from society, from his city, from everything. He was forced to live out in the wilderness, isolated and alone. And that's what sin does. In even a more terrible way. Because as the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you. And He will not hear. If you're without Christ, you are alone. You are alone, isolated from God, separated from Him. I want you to notice letter B, the nature of His approach. The nature of His approach. You see, in those days there was no good leper, bad leper. Right? There was no good leper, bad leper. I mean, somebody said, well, you know, yeah, I'm a leper, but you know what? I'm not as bad a leper as Brother David is. Say. No, leper is a leper is a leper, right? And there are many people who have the idea, well, yeah, okay, Pastor, yeah, you know, I realize I'm not perfect, but you know, at least I don't do drugs and I don't, you know, I don't go out and get drunk and I don't beat my wife except when she needs it. Do this, and I don't associate with those kind of, you know, those kind of people over there, those kind of people on the other side of the tracks, if you will. Those kind of people, we don't want to associate with them. They're bad sinners. We're good sinners over here. Where did we get that kind of an idea? You don't find that in the Bible anywhere. A leper was a leper. You either had it or you didn't have it. Whether you were in the early stages or the advanced stages made absolutely no difference. You were a leper. You were an outcast. You were defiled. By the way, the very same thing is true of sin. Just because you may not have sunk as low as other people have gone, don't get the idea you're any better than they are. In the eyes of a holy God, you're a sinner too. And sin is sin is sin. And He hates all of it. And this leper understood that. So I want you to notice the nature of his approach. Verse number 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, listen to this statement, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I want you to notice three things that we see in this verse. Number one, I want you to notice that when this man came, notice his approach. He came, it was with earnestness. It was with earnestness. He came beseeching him, pleading with him, if you will, begging him. He came with earnestness. Number two, also notice that when he came, it was with humility. He did not come and say, "Well, I'm a leper, but I'm not as bad as that other guy over there. Boy, you ought to see him. I mean, his legs fell off last night. He's terrible. I'm not that bad. I'm a good leper." No, he came with humility. He came humbly. Kneeling, he knew what he was. He knew who Jesus was. And he humbled himself before Christ. Bowed down before him. Notice number three. Concerning the nature of his approach, I want you to notice number three, it was with faith. It was with faith. In other words, he said, basically here's what he said. If you look it up, you'll see it in the Crocker version. He came and said, "Lord, if you want to, you can do this. If you want to, you can do it." That's an amazing thing. And the reason why that is such an amazing statement is because according to the Lord Jesus Himself, in Luke chapter 4, verse number 27, according to the Lord Jesus Himself, in all of the nation of Israel, no single person had ever been healed of leprosy since the days of that Syrian named Naaman. Way back in 2 Kings chapter 5. No leper in all of Israel had been healed for a period of 840 years. And yet this leper comes to Jesus and said, "Jesus, if you want to, if you will, you can make me clean." Yeah, I know. It hasn't happened for centuries and centuries, but you're different. If you want to, you can make me clean. Now, why did he believe that? My personal opinion, though the Bible does not say, I believe it was simply because as Jesus had performed the miracles in Capernaum, as he had healed the sick, as he had cast out the devils, and as the word of his fame spread, some who were passing through the wilderness, they had cried out to the leper, "Hey, there's one Jesus of Nazareth who is doing miracles." And when this leper heard what Jesus was doing for others, he could not help believe that what Jesus did for others, Jesus could do for him. "Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean." Notice number two, the sovereign Messiah. The sovereign Messiah. Notice a couple of things. First of all, his compassion. His compassion. Now you remember that when a leper came around, the law required that he was to cover his mouth. When a leper came around, he was required to cover his mouth. He was required to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And the natural response, if you were walking through an area and you heard someone yell, "Unclean," you know what you would do? You would go the other way. You wouldn't want to get around that person. But as this leper approached, the crowd was horrified by what they saw, and they pulled away in fear. The crowd was repulsed. They were sickened by the smell and the stench of this man who is deformed with this disease. But as the crowd pulled away, there stood Jesus. There stood Jesus. And the Bible says in verse 41, and Jesus, moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. In other words, Jesus was moved with a love for this man who in the eyes of the world was totally worthless. Was totally unlovable. And as I mentioned a moment ago, in the eyes of many, was already considered dead. Yet, Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him. Wow, what a great hope that is for us. I don't know your life story. I don't know how deep or how far into sin you've gone. I don't know what kind of shame you've brought on yourself. But I know this. No matter how deep you've gone, He loves you. He loves you. Not only do we see His compassion, notice letter B, His touch. His touch. In verse number 41, Jesus moved with compassion. Put forth His hand. This is something nobody in their right mind would do, by the way. Nobody wanted to touch a leper. Not only would they be defiled by touching the leper, but there was also the great risk that the disease would then spread to them. Nobody would touch a leper. But Jesus was moved with compassion with this man, and He reached out. And I don't know, I have kind of a wild imagination, but I almost can imagine that the crowd went, oh! And He reached out and touched him. Reached out and touched him. Letter C, we see His desire. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand, touched him, and then here's what He said. He said, I will. Lord, if You will, You can make... Yeah, okay, I will. I will. Be thou clean. And then we see His power. In verse number 42, and as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from Him, and He was cleansed. That body, deformed, rotting away, is suddenly, instantly made whole. Face, hands, feet, deformed by the terrible ravages of that rotting disease are now suddenly made well, and that ruined skin was instantly as smooth as the skin of a newborn baby. Just like that. The defilement of his disease was immediately taken away, and everything was wonderfully changed simply because of the word of the Master. By the way, that same Jesus is still in the same business of touching lives today. There is none so spiritually bankrupt and none so spiritually vile that He does not love them. There are none who are so ruined or defiled that He will not touch them. And there are none who are so filthy and corrupted that He is not able to cleanse them in an instant and make everything new in their life. That's the saving power of God. That's why we don't judge people by where they come from. Makes no difference. And we don't judge people by what they have done. Makes no difference either. The only thing we're interested in is what is your personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only issue that matters. That's the issue that matters. sovereign Messiah. Notice number three. Notice number three, the strange mandate. A strange mandate. Verse 33, verse number 44. And he, talking about the Lord Jesus, he just heals this man, heals him of this terrible disease, and then the Bible says that he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him. Now notice a couple of things here. First of all, notice the Lord's command. The Lord's command. Verse number 44. See thou say nothing to any man. Have you ever had somebody say, now I want to tell you a secret, don't tell anybody. I don't even know why we say that. What a waste of breath. You know? Hey, I want to tell you a secret, don't tell anybody. Psst, 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 psst. And what inside you're going, who can I tell? Who can I tell? Who? You know, and you've got, maybe it's really good news. And you want to share it with somebody else. Just imagine if you're a leper. Full of leprosy. Outcast for years. And now all of a sudden you're made well. And the one who made you well said, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. But go thy way, Jesus said. Show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. The man. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1 to verse number 32 gives the instruction, but this man is commanded by the Lord. Don't tell anybody what's happened. You just make your way to Jerusalem. And you go to the priest there. And you send a message into the priest, and the priest will then come to you. He will come outside of the city. And he will come out and he will meet with you, and he will basically give to you a physical examination. Remember, it was a physical examination which determined the man had leprosy and sent him away. It was in the same way that he would be restored to society. He had to be examined by the priest. He said, you go show yourself to the priest. You present yourself there. And you receive the physical examination, and when no leprosy is found in you, then you offer the series of offerings over a period of 8 days that Moses required. You shave off all your hair and wash your clothes and wash your body as Moses declared. And then you be anointed with the blood of the sacrifice and with the holy oil for the cleansing as Moses declared. And I want you to notice, Jesus made it very clear that all of this was to be done for a testimony. It was to be done for a testimony. And people would rejoice because the priest who once pronounced this man as being unclean, as being defiled, as being filthy, that same priest would now say, things are different and this man is now clean. And he's pure. And he's able now to enter back into the society with the people of God because he's been cleansed. That was God's plan. That was God's desire. But notice letter B, the man's disobedience. Verse number 45 says that he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. I think the wording there is very interesting. He began to blaze abroad. In other words, when he told his story, it began to spread like a wildfire. Began to spread like a wildfire. Now the Lord's desire was that he would go to the priest, a distance of some 193 kilometers from Capernaum. But instead of doing that, he just went out and started telling everybody himself. Started telling everyone himself. And because this man disobeyed, notice the result in verse 45, because he spread abroad the matter, Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. In other words, the disobedience of the man caused the Lord Jesus to be sworn by such crowds of people that his ministry to individuals was hindered. It was hindered. But in spite of the man's disobedience, we see letter C, the Lord's ministry. They came to him from every quarter. So we bring this to a close this morning. Let me close with this question. Where do you find yourself in this story? Where do you find yourself? Some may be like the leper. Some may be like the leper before he was cleansed, afflicted, devastated, defiled and ruined by the effects of sin. If that is your case this morning, I have good news for you. The good news is simply that there is hope for you through faith in Jesus Christ. You can be cleansed. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. No matter how big, no matter how small, God's blood, the blood of Christ, cleanses from all sin. Some here, perhaps you have been saved, but just like the leper that was healed, there are still areas in your life, there are areas of disobedience that hinder you from being the testimony for Jesus Christ that you ought to be. Areas of disobedience that hinder your testimony. And instead of being used of God to the fullest, you're actually hindering the work of God. And anything that God does, He has to do not through you, but He has to do in spite of you. May God help us this morning to examine our hearts carefully, to see where we fit, where we stand, which one applies to us. And may God help us to determine that by God's grace, that we're going to get in line with what the Word of God says, and we're going to walk in obedience to Him, that we might be what He wants us to be. Heavenly Father, thank You this morning for Your Word.